Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29. Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mang shantam richati. Lord Krishna says that by knowing me, Krishna, to be the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the proprietor of all planets, and the best friend of all living beings, one can attain peace. As you may know, Srila Prabhupada came to preach in the Western world. He came to America at a time when the subject of peace was a major topic of public discussion, because America at that time was at war in Vietnam. Now they're at war in Iraq and Syria, and at that time the recipient of their mercy was Vietnam. And there was the draft, which meant that young men, they were forced to go. You must go and fight. So it wasn't very popular. So it was a big topic in discussion. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was speaking Bhagavad Gita. He was mainly presenting Krishna consciousness via the medium of Bhagavad Gita, in which Arjuna doesn't want to fight, and Krishna tells him, you must fight. And the young people that Srila Prabhupada was preaching to, they were in the situation where they're being told to fight, and they don't want to fight. So they thought, Arjuna is good. But Krishna said, no, you must fight. And Srila Prabhupada said also, well, you elect the government, and the government tells you to go to war, then you should go to war. That wasn't very popular. But anyway, there was a lot of talk about how we should have peace, so we can live very peacefully. And Srila Prabhupada gave this verse as the peace formula. He wrote a little pamphlet for distributing that we cannot have peace in human society as long as we do not recognize Krishna as being Bhuktaram Yagya Tapasam, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the proprietor of everything, and the best friend of all living beings. Neither individually can we have peace. Please, if you'd like to take photos, I'll pose afterwards. But now, just listen. Shravanam. First thing in bhakti is shravanam, not shutanam, shooting a picture. So please listen. So, individually and nationally and internationally, there can be peace if we recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you. But there will never be peace in this world. We like to think we'll have peace, but there won't be peace, because this is the world where we come to forget Krishna. We've all come here to forget Krishna. Krishna bhuli seji vanadi bahimukha taiv maya tare deya shangshara duk. Forgetting Krishna, we come to this world. We become inimical to Krishna. And therefore maya gives us various miseries. So how does misery arise? Right. Misery arises because in this world, when we're inimical to Krishna, instead of desiring to serve Krishna, which is our pure situation, we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And this is called karma. This word karma, it's a very important word to understand the full implications of this world, word. This Krishna bully, we forget Krishna. That same verse is expressed in another way in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which, most important, that Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kama. Hear that word, Kama. Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nama. The desire to enjoy our own senses is called Kama, material desire. The desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called Prema. So this word Kama, we'll find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes Kama. Jnaninam Nitya Vairinam. He says this Kama, material desire, is, it covers, or it's the enemy of real knowledge. Sometimes it's said that Kama is the cause of material existence. Sometimes it says that Ajnana, ignorance, is the cause. But actually the two things are practically synonymous. Because if we forget Krishna, Krishna bhuli, that means we come to the position of ignorance. What is Vidya? Vidya means to know Krishna, to know who I am, what is my relationship with Krishna. And when we forget that, then we decide to forget that. It's rebelliousness. And then there's another similar verse, Krishna bahimokhoya bhogavanchakore. When we become inimical to Krishna, then we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. That's Kama. Nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhari. And maya is just waiting to catch us. So practically, avidya and kama, the two are inseparable. If we're in ignorance, then we have material desire. And if we're in knowledge, then we love Krishna. That Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvang prabhatate. Iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says that I am the origin of everything. Everything is generated from me. Those who know this, they worship me with their intelligence and with feeling. So knowledge means, if we're actually in knowledge, then we love Krishna. Bahunam jandana amante jnanavang maam prapaddite vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabhaha. Someone is searching for spiritual knowledge. After many lifetimes, they may come to understand that actually what we're really looking for is Krishna. Krishna is all in all. And then they surrender to Krishna. But such a mahatma is very rare in this world. In the spiritual world, everyone is serving Krishna. But in this world, everyone's avoiding Krishna. And therefore, there is no peace. And if there's no peace, ashantasya kutah sukham. In Bhagavad Krishna, Gita, Krishna asks this rhetorical question. If there's no peace, then where is the question of happiness? If there's no peace in our mind, then how can there be happiness? So this world is the world of forgetting Krishna. But we may say, well, so many people are religious. Most people are religious. Most people follow some religion. Whether it's Hinduism or Christianity or Islam. Islam is promoted as the religion of peace. The self-appointed caliph of the Islamic State says, no, Islam is the religion of war. But generally people think, well, if we're religious, then we should be good people and peaceful. Jesus is said to be the Prince of Peace. please don't take photos now. If you want to take photos, take them later. Now, listen, please. I came to speak, so you please come to hear. His hearing is more important than seeing. So all religions, they promote that, well, we should live together peacefully, isn't it? Actually, that's in the modern world. Previously, I don't think it was like that. Previously, the religions were all fighting with each other, but nowadays there's some idea. As the world becomes one unit, you can fly from Singapore to London in, how long does it take? 10 hours, something like that. So you can fly from Singapore to Los Angeles in maybe, what, 15 hours, something like that. So it's a small world, and all people are... Singapore is a good example of that. It's very cosmopolitan, that there are all different kinds of people living together. The Malayan people, who are the original inhabitants here, they're Muslims, and among the Indians, mostly Hindus, and some Muslims and Christians also. Chinese, they had Chinese religion, and many are also converted Christian. So all different races, languages, religions, cultures, all in one small island state. So the idea is that, well, we all have to tolerate and live very peacefully. And actually in Singapore, so far so good. 50 years and it's quite peaceful. But you can never tell. The nature of this world is that people may be living very peacefully, but because the nature of this world is disturbed, especially in Kali Yuga, that can change at any moment. Many years ago, I read one book called Freedom at Midnight, which is a story of India's independence from Britain. Independence and partition also. So I think there are only two or three things I remember from the book, but there were many anecdotes given. There's one anecdote in Lahore, which at that time, before partition, there were many. Now Lahore is in Pakistan. But at that time, before partition, there were many Hindus living there. So there was a story that one Hindu man used to come every morning for many years. On his way to work, he used to go to one tea shop and drink tea, and then he'd go on to work. And the proprietor of the tea shop was a Muslim, shop or whatever. So every day, it was just a routine. He'd come, drink the tea, and then they knew each other because he'd been coming for many years. And as soon as the tea shop owner saw this man just coming in, he'd immediately pour the chai. So now the partition time was there, and all Hindu-Muslim feeling was Hindus and Muslims who had been living side by side for years, but from political agitation they were becoming turned against each other. So this man, every day he would pour the tea. This time he pulled out a gun and shot him dead. Even though he knew him for years. So I'm just citing this as an example of how, because this world is the world of forgetting Krishna, therefore even people are living very peacefully, but they can change very easily. And there are many stories. In Europe, about 20 years ago, there was Yugoslavia, and Serbs and Croatians and Slovenes and this Bosnians and what's the other one? The Macedonian, they're all living peacefully together. Then they turned against each other. There may be a Serbian man married to a Croatian woman. He says, oh, you're Croatian, killed her. There are many examples. So it's madness. But that is the nature of this world. Now, should not religion be able to help us live in peace? Is it not? Then we should all be good and nice to each other. There's a verse I'm going to quote now from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. 11th canto of Bhagavatam, very, very important. You should all study these books. 11th canto is all the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, but in expanded form. So here's a verse from there, in which Lord Krishna says, Vishayeshu gunadhyasat pungsa sangasthato bhavet sangat tatra bhavet kama kamad eva kalir nurnam. Now, if you're listening carefully and you're a good student of Bhagavad Gita, you may find in this verse it's quite similar to some verses in Bhagavad Gita. I'll quote those verses from Bhagavad Gita before I explain this one. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dhyayato vishaya pungsang sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho bijayate krodhat bhavati sammohat smriti vibramaha smriti brangshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. Yeah, okay, put that down, thank you. Now please sit down. Lord Krishna says that when we think about, I want to enjoy, oh look, there's something I want to enjoy. Look at that in the shop, some new electrical gadget, smartphone. I want. We're thinking. Kama, desire arises. So from desire comes anger. That means that if we don't get what we want, we become frustrated. And if we do get what we want, we also become frustrated because the happiness that we think we will get from whatever we want to get, we don't get it. Whenever this new smartphone or Apple, something the other comes, people say, oh, I gotta get it. But they get it and where's the happiness? There's no happiness in some gadget. So frustration, you think you're going to get happiness, but you don't. So anger or frustration. And from which one becomes bewildered. Anyway, in this world, one is bewildered. Even to meditate on the objects of the senses means you're bewildered. But sammoha, you become more bewildered. Sammoha buddhi. Then the intelligence becomes spoiled. Then we forget altogether what is the purpose of life. And we lose it altogether. Our whole purpose of human life is spoiled. So many of the points. Vishayeshu gunadhyasat. Pungsa sangha. So this word sangha, by associating with the objects of the senses, even by thinking about them. If we think, so the translation of this word, Vishayeshu gunadhyasat. But if we think that what is here in this world is something good for me, then we become attached. And from that attachment comes karma, material desire. Now, why I quoted this, karma, kamad eva kali nirinam. Kali is Kali Yuga. Kali means quarrel. When there's desire, there's quarrel. So we see different wars. Second World War was going on. Hitler said, Germany, we want to take your country. And other people said, no. And then they fought. And it became a big fight. So when there's desire, there's competition, quarrel. I'm better than you. No, no, I want to show myself. I want to be top of the class. From the beginning, we teach the children, you should be top of the class. There's competition, material desire. No one's happy. So this, from material desire comes quarrel. And that is why there cannot be any religion of peace in this world. Because all the religions, they teach us that you worship God or whatever. It may be some spirit worship that's quite common among the Chinese people. Spirit worship, ancestor worship. But the idea is that you worship God and you will get some material desire fulfilled. That's why when we're preaching Krishna consciousness among the Indian people in general, Tamil people, especially very attached to demigod worship. Why is that? Because kamai stai stai hrita jnana prapadyante nya devataha. Again, you see the word kama comes. It's Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, why do people worship all these different gods? In Bhagavad Gita it's established Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Matavparattaram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. There is no higher truth than me. Then why do people worship different gods? Kamai stai stai hritagya. Because people have material desires. Their intelligence is spoiled. And therefore they worship different gods. They think, well, if I worship this god, I worship Ganesh, and then all the problems will go away. But actually the problems don't go away. Because this world is the world of problems. Of course, if you worship Ganesh, there may be. We're not saying there's nothing there. But the vigna, vigna vinashana, the obstacles will go away to getting some material project fulfilled. But even if we get what we want in this world, it doesn't help us, doesn't make us happy. So the very idea of worshipping demigods to fulfill some desire, that is foolish from the very beginning. Because to try to fulfill material desire means that we're going to be dissatisfied. And we're going to have to get born again and again and again. If we have material desires, it means we're going to have to be born again and again and again. This applying tilak, Hare Krishna, just sit there. You're distracting. Just sit and listen. Just sit and listen, please. It's the most difficult thing to do, because they're used to being all active all the time, or looking at this smartphone and what's on the internet, and this. Just calm down, listen. Please try and hear. So this religions, they mostly promote whatever religion, worship a demigod, even worship Krishna. People, you worship Krishna, you'll get some desire. Of course, mostly people, they don't worship Krishna for material desires. They go to different demigods. But some people go to Krishna also. Actually, and I'm saying that this Balaji, Srinivas temple in Tirupati, people go to him for material desire. So many desires. But the whole idea of worshipping God to get some material desire fulfilled means that we're not really worshipping God in the proper way. And mostly people think that's what religion is for, whether Christian or Muslim, or whatever. They think religion means that God will bless us so that we can live happily. And then we'll be peaceful, we'll all be peaceful and enjoy this world. So the very idea that religion is meant for material enjoyment, that in itself, it's not really religion, because religion, real religion means to act simply for Krishna's pleasure. But if we're thinking what I can get for my pleasure, then it's not, it's religion, but it's contaminated. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho tayo pakalpate. Nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hi smitaha. Again, you heard that word, karma. Comes again and again. This verse which I just quoted, Srila Prabhupada, he said, when he was asked, what's your favorite verse? He quoted this verse. It's not such a well-known verse, but it's very important. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, in which it's stated that dharma should not be for fulfilling material desires, but it should be for our highest benefit. We should know that our highest benefit is not karma. That's not for our benefit at all. To worship God for fulfilling material desires is extremely foolish. It's just like if you go to someone, you go to a big powerful man or rich man and say, you praise him, oh, you are very great, this, that. Okay, what do you want? He said, please beat me with shoes. Well, that's a very strange thing. Why are you asking to be beaten by shoes? But practically that's what we're doing when we ask God to fulfill some material desires, because when we try to pursue material desires, we'll get beaten by Maya. That's what Maya does. Maya, her job is to make life difficult for us. So if we're trying to fulfill material desires, that means that we're asking for trouble. There's that saying in English, asking for trouble. I mean, no one asks directly, please give me difficulties. So if for instance, you think that, well, let's do something exciting. Let's drive on the wrong side of the road and see if we can avoid all the other traffic. It'll be fun. Well, you're asking for trouble. Because even if you don't crash, you're going to get arrested and probably put in prison, and your driving license will be revoked, and so on. So you're not literally asking for trouble, but by your actions you know that there will be trouble. So asking, oh God, give me dhanam dehi, rupavati bharya dehi, give me all these things, beautiful wife, lots of money. It's asking for trouble. You're asking for money, you're asking for trouble. Dhanam janam sundarim. We're asking for our material desire to be fulfilled. There must be trouble. Actually, who prays for trouble? Devotees, they may pray, literally. This Kunti Rani, she prayed to Krishna. She's the mother of the Pandavas. They had so much trouble in this world. And when all the trouble was over, what did Kunti pray? Vipada santu tashashvat tatra tatra jagad guru bhavato darshanam yat sad apuna bhava darshanam. Kunti, she prayed that vipada, give us more dangers, give us more trouble. It's a very strange prayer. Mostly people go to God and they pray, oh, I have so many problems, take them away. So Krishna had done that with the Pandavas. Then by the battle of Kurukshetra, all the opposing elements were removed And Kuti said, now you took away all our trouble, give us more. Why? Because if we're in trouble, then we think of you. And if we think of you, then we get free from birth and death. Then we go to you. But if life is very peaceful, very nice, that's all illusion, because life is not really peaceful and nice. Because it's punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Again and again getting born, again and again dying. That is the nature of this world. So living in peace in this world is just a big illusion. So any religion that says, well, you live peacefully, and that's their main propaganda, it's misleading. Of course, we also in Krishna consciousness, we don't promote that you live non-peacefully. Some religious processes do that, just like in the Muharram. You must have this here in Singapore also, the Shia Muslims. They flog themselves. They do that here also. It's not allowed in Singapore. I saw in Dubai they're doing it. And in India you see it. In Bangladesh I never saw it there. They're mostly Sunni Muslims there. But I never saw it there. In Shillet there are some. In the old city, Shadaghat, all those places. I never saw it. So they're giving them, and in the Vedic system, there are also the yogis who will do severe penance. They'll sit on thorns, or they may hold their hand up for 20 years, so the hand becomes, what's that word? I can't remember. Atrophied. It no longer works. The hand becomes useless. But what's the point? What's the value? So there are some systems that may recommend that, but even that doesn't help. So what is the real system of religion that can bring... We also say live peacefully in this world, as far as possible. We should know that in this world there is not peace, but we can live peacefully in this world if we put Krishna in the center. That's the point. We should perform all our activities with Krishna in the center. We know that it's not possible for everyone to immediately give up all material desire, but we should not live in a way that we increase the material desire more and more and more. So the Vedic system, Varnashram system, all right. And you live with your family, chant Hare Krishna, and you go on hearing about Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna, and then you can gradually become detached from... The idea is to become detached from material desires, not to increase them more and more and more. That's when we say that, all right, you live at home with your family peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. The idea is not that we will live very comfortably in this world at the with the blessings of Krishna. That's not that, all right, that may be there, but that's not the main point. The main point is to understand that, all right, we can live comfortably with family and this and that. We should understand that by its very nature, this material world is not comfortable. Because we have to suffer janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. So chant Hare Krishna and go on hearing about Krishna. And chanting Hare Krishna. And understand the nature of this world. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted this proposal. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane stita shudikatang tanuvang manobhya ye prayasho jita jita opi apitai strilokyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. This is the real process of religion. that don't think you know everything. Become humble. Live your life as you're living it, but go on hearing about Krishna from great devotees and engaging in Krishna's service. And this way we can conquer over that which is unconquerable, which is birth and death. We can even conquer Krishna by love. So this we should go on hearing about Krishna and live peacefully. That means among Vaishnavas, they cooperate to serve Krishna. Why? Because they don't put kaam in the center. Generally, people live in this world with kama. How can I enjoy? Or they may expand that. How can my family be happy? I'm just interested in my family or my community. But if we all put Krishna in the center, then we can cooperate very nicely. This is how we can live peacefully in this world, with Krishna in the center. But at the same time, we should know the nature of this world is that there's no peace guaranteed. Anytime, anything can happen. So we should be ready for that also. And we should know that, all right, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but we really have to consider how to become free from material desires, because we should know that's the great obstacle for our attaining Krishna. If we're cultivating material desires, then we can't be Krishna conscious. We can't have karma and prema. We can't have both. We may think I'll have the best of both worlds, but there's nothing good in this world. So what the best of this world is to realize it's useless. That's the best. That's all. Otherwise, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madadi, abhishta, eshabna, chare, kishe, pabe, radha, krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, as long as we have this kam, krodh, all these things, then we can't attain to Radha and Krishna. That's individually. So, in this world, this idea, we'll have a religion of peace. We'll all live very peacefully. We'll be religious and nice. But the religions that promote how to be happy in this world, enjoying this world with the blessings of God, in that very endeavor, they already make the program by which there will not be peace. There's this idea, we shall live peacefully. We'll go to the church, or the mosque, or the temple, and then we'll all be good and peaceful. But if we're going and praying for material desires to be fulfilled, that sows the seed of non-peacefulness, just right there. So without it's not enough simply to be religious, or to say, yes, I believe in God, I pray to God. But we have to understand, Bhuktaram Yagetapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshvaram, Sarva Suhridam, Sarva Bhutanam, Gyatva Mang Shantim Richati. We have to, it's not just a matter of praying or, yes, be good, but we have to actually understand that Krishna is the proprietor, that Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is the proprietor. Krishna is the friend of everyone. And not just understand theoretically, but to live like that. That means if we understand Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of everything, then I won't try to enjoy everything. I will act in a way that Krishna shall be pleased. If I understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, then I won't think that I should enjoy everything. This belongs to me. But whatever I have, Krishna has given, I shall use that in Krishna's service. And nor will we be very anxious to get more. I have to get more and more money so I can enjoy more and more things. No, everything belongs to Krishna. And Krishna is the best friend of everyone, so we shouldn't be enemies with anyone. People want peace. They're shocked. Oh, there's this terrorism and beheadings and killing. It's very bad. It is very bad, we agree. But at the same time, all over the world, there are literally every day millions of animals and birds and fish being killed just so people can eat them. They're also suffering pain. So we're shocked that the humans are being killed, but the animals we don't care at all. So the karmic reaction is coming around. We don't care. If we report that, oh, in terrorist attack, 40 people killed. Oh, very bad. Actually, we don't think, we're so used to it now that we just think it's normal. But if we say terrorism, 2 million killed. 2 million? 2 million? Well, it's going on every day. If you take all the chickens and fish, and they say, oh, that's just a joke. It's not a joke. They're also living beings. They also feel pain. So practically, most of the humans in the world are terrorists, or they're supporting terrorism, because the animals are being tortured and killed. So how can we expect peace? And the religions, they promote it. Oh, very good. Yes. Yeah. But you have to make sure it's killed the religious way. We won't take it unless it's kosher or halal or something like this. But it's all not pleasing to Krishna. Why do people like to eat meat? That's karma, desire. They like the tongue will get some nice flavor. They think it's nice. You don't think it's nice. It's a horrible idea. But they think it doesn't matter. The animal is suffering, but it doesn't matter because we are humans. We have to enjoy. But Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, Krishna, he's the friend of all living beings. So why have you become the enemy? And how can you expect to have peace? Religion that promotes violence, even if it's violent, you say, well, no, we promote peace among humans, but violence to animals. It won't work. It won't work because Krishna makes the rules of the universe. We don't make the rules. According to our religion, we should be peaceful to humans, but killing animals, well, nothing wrong. But that's your idea. But Krishna makes the rules of the universe, not us. We may imagine that, yes, you can be very peaceful to humans, but the animal, anyway, they're just animals. God gave them to us. Why did God make the animals unless they're meant to be killed? I've heard these arguments. God gave these animals for us to kill. But no, why? Why should that be? Ooh, this is a horrible philosophy. Prabhupada said this is Satan's philosophy. To be peaceful to men and cruel to the animals. Kill the animals. So, there cannot be a religion of peace as long as the religions are promoting fulfilling material desire. You can tell people this. They have peace conferences. All the religions, world parliament of religions, they come together and say, how we can work together for peace. And at the religious meeting, they have to think, what kind of meat can we serve that everyone will be happy? Usually chicken, I would imagine. It's hypocrisy. Simply hypocrisy. So this meat eating and animal slaughter, that's a very gross manifestation of how people, they think they're religious, but they're fulfilling material desire, but even in a subtle way. As long as we're thinking we can enjoy this world, then we individually can't have peace. And even in our home life, we can't have peace because then the husband and wife will be fighting, and the children will be fighting with the parents, because they're thinking, me, 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 what do I want? My own desire. And from karma comes Kali, from material desire, me, I want what I want. And then comes quarrel. So these are very practical, important instructions which we get from Shastra. You should try to understand everything through Shastra. You have all come to, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, to this movement of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was Jagat Guru, Guru of the whole world. Why? Not just because he went around the world. Anyone can travel around the world and chant Hare Krishna. If you do that, that's very good. But Srila Prabhupada is Jagat Guru not just because he traveled around the world, but he taught the people of the world. He gave instruction, teacher, giving spiritual instruction, and is still doing so through his books. So try to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how it's very practical and meaningful. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant to help the people of the world who are increasingly living in fear of terror. It may strike any time, any place. Why is that? Because of misunderstanding. People take God as our order supplier. We have material desires. Okay, God, this is what I want. Here's my shopping list. I want this and that and something else. And this is not prema. This is karma. To go to God to fulfill material desires is better than being an atheist. But it's a long way from pure love of God. And as long as we cultivate material desire, even using God or trying to utilize God as the fulfiller of our material desires, then there will be quarrel. There will not be peace. Ashantasya, what is that? Ashantasya kutasuka. There's no peace, there's no happiness. There's no question, as if we're cultivating material desires, of coming to the real point of Krishna consciousness, which is pure love of Krishna. Pure love of Krishna. Krishna prema, free from all material desires. So, chanting Hare Krishna will purify the consciousness. We should hear also, try and understand all these points. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this, please? No question means what? Oh, no, there is a question. I was going to say, no one understands anything I said, or... Yeah. We shouldn't have material desires. We shouldn't have material desires. Yeah, that's a fact. But we do have material desires. We go to work. So, Krishna consciousness is a process. It's very practical, in which... Actually, I spoke about this morning. I gave a class, so... We know the aim is to become completely free from material desires. We are presently in this situation in which we have material desires, and we find that we're not able to just immediately give them up. So we take up the process of Krishna consciousness, of sadhana, by which we become gradually purified. We recognize that we have certain desires, but we act in such a way that we can gradually become purified. We don't cultivate the desire. In other words, we may go to work to maintain our family because we understand that's our responsibility in our present material situation. So we do that dutifully. But we know that the goal of life is not simply to maintain a family. Or if we maintain a family, we should do so helping to bring all the family members together to serve Krishna. That becomes a spiritual family. So it's realistic, practical, that our goal is to become fully absorbed in love of Krishna with no material desires. But we recognize that presently I am in this position. So in this position, I will go on serving Krishna, but not as a materialistic householder. It's actually striving to become purified. So instead of having social life and parties, well, we have social life, we come together with all the devotees. Instead of having parties with booze and all this kind of thing, then we come together, we chant and dance and take prasadam. So social life is still there, but it's with pure company instead of with all people who will drag us down. I don't know, but maybe some of you or many of you previously, you used to go to parties and drink booze and talk all nonsense. So social life is still there, but good association that will help to uplift us instead of dragging us down. Okay, just wait for the microphone to come.
I have one question that, as you said that as long as the mind is peaceful, then only we can have happiness. I mean, there will be happiness surrounding, in the surrounding, if the mind is peaceful.
If the mind is peaceful, then there can be happiness. Yeah, Krishna says this indirectly. Well, so, as a rhetorical question, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I understand that mind can be peaceful only if the surrounding is like, happiness in the surrounding.
Happiness depends on the surrounding, you understand. Well, you misunderstand. Because the happiness comes from a real peacefulness doesn't depend upon the surroundings as much as it depends on our own state of mind. Someone whose mind is very disturbed, they can be in a very peaceful place. The last 6 weeks I was in a very peaceful place in Sri Lanka, on the mountain area. I was in a place sitting peacefully and writing. So someone can go to a very peaceful place, but if their mind is not peaceful, their mind will not become peaceful. Ah, well, I can't stand here. I want to go to some place where there's more action. It's too boring here. They may go to a peaceful place and then they start fighting with all the local people. Because if the mind is agitated, then you can go to the surroundings can be peaceful. Actually, there's no real peaceful place anywhere. When we see beautiful nature, what is it? There are all different creatures competing with each other. Jivo, jivasya, jivanam. One animal is eating another animal and so on. But we may be in a very disturbed condition and be peaceful. Someone who's peaceful in mind, they're not disturbed. Even in the most disturbing situation. What is that in Gita? Krishna says that, I can't remember now, in the sixth chapter. He says that I can't remember just now the Sanskrit. Of course, generally, if there's lots of disturbance, then we do become disturbed. That's general. But we have to rise above that by spiritual development. Internal peace.
I think, Maharaj, this is actually, the path of becoming very idealistic thing, which is not...
You don't think it's possible to attain it? Then you can't attain it. It seems impossible to you, but it's possible by Krishna's mercy. You have to have some faith. If you think it's not possible, then it's not possible. You have to have faith. If you follow, then you can also come to that standard. As a jiva, you are meant to be pure. You can become purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. But if you don't have faith in it, then you won't apply yourself. And then you won't get the result. If you have faith, then you apply yourself and you get the result. Seems impossible, but it's possible by the grace of Krishna. It didn't seem possible that anyone in the Western countries could become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada thought it's possible. No one else thought it was possible. He went, he tried, and it happened. Asangshayang mahabaho mano dur nigraham chalam. Abhyasena tukauntaya vairagyena chagrihyate. Krishna says, it is very difficult to control the mind, no doubt. But it is possible by practice. Means by following sadhana and by developing a sense of detachment. So it is possible. But we have to take up the right means. Yeah, please. Give the microphone here, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the amazing class.
Amazing class. Everyone's amazed. It's become a formality to say this.
I said that because there are a couple of questions that I had. So, first one, saying...
Like. You don't have to say like every other word.
When we say that we shouldn't consider the Lord as our order supplier, sometimes when we are faced with difficult situations in life...
Sometimes when we are faced with difficult situations in life... To think that we are sometimes faced with difficult situations in life is maya. Because we're always faced with difficult situations. It's always difficult.
Right. But then, see, exactly, we are always in a difficult situation, so to speak. But when, in such situations, if we don't go to the Lord, what should be our approach? And if we go to the Lord, then wouldn't it be again considered as a...
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're always in a difficult situation. Right. If you think that, right now, my boss is not being particularly nasty with me, and my health is quite good, so everything's nice. That's maya. If you think now everything is very nice, that's maya. You're in more trouble. If you think, now I have to pray to Krishna because my boss is in a bad mood, and my health is not good, and so now I'm in a worse situation. But actually, you're always in a bad situation. Krishna kindly arranges more difficulties so we can realize we're in a bad situation. If you're in a car and you're going 100 kilometers an hour right towards a brick wall, but you think, well, actually, there's no problem because you see it's a very comfortable car and there's nice, I like the music I'm playing and the AC is just adjusted nicely. And you say, well, there's a brick wall. Well, that's in future. That's just 20 seconds in future. In the meanwhile, enjoy. It's foolishness, is it not? So you're thinking, everything's nice, but you have to die, you have to suffer birth or death, old age and disease. Well, now I'm comfortable. That's foolishness. So Krishna arranges that we, apart from birth, death, old age and disease, we get various interim problems, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik. So if we're thinking that I'm not in danger, I'm not disturbed, that's more of a problem than if we are disturbed. Then if we are disturbed, then, and now I have to pray to Krishna. But actually we should always pray to Krishna. So it's Krishna's mercy on us that we get various problems, then we have to pray to Him. Anyway, we should pray to Him. But if we don't, then Krishna may very kindly remind us with a slap. Maya helps by giving us a slap. She's always slapping us, but sometimes more pronounced slap. So are you amazed now by hearing this? Don't say it just as a formality. It's become a formality. Thank you for the wonderful class. It's all right. You don't have to say. If you like, you can say sadhu, sadhu. That's the... Yeah, all right. Anything else?
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. We are talking about slotting of any sort of...
Yeah, speak in the mic. It's not just for holding. You have to actually hold it up to your...
Yeah, you are talking about slaughtering. Okay, keeping that one side. Sometimes, like, on and off, we think about any other person in a negative way. That would that also be considered in one way a slaughter of not a physical?
To think of others in a negative way. Well, that's one kind of violence. There's mental violence, verbal violence, and physical violence. But each one is progressively worse. As in the story when Bhrigu Muni was sent to test who is the supreme God. So when he went to Brahma, he didn't say anything. Well, he just ignored Brahma. So that was mental violence. When he went to Shiva, he insulted him. That was verbal violence. When he went to Vishnu, I don't want to say, but there was some physical violence. So each one is progressively worse. So they're all not good, but there are gradations also. In other words, if there's a chicken and you say to the chicken, "You're a useless chicken," that's verbal violence. That's not as bad as cutting its throat. Of course, the chicken wouldn't understand, but you can use with a human also. If you say to someone, "Ah, I don't like you. You're a this and a that," and that's violence. But to physically punch them or knife them, that's worse, isn't it? So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We'll finish this little talk here now.